work primarily in residential settings and commercial settings. They provide professional sales, services, and repairs. And they even provide emergency service if that's needed by their customers. And Dennis was telling me that about a couple of weeks ago when the cold snap came through. There were a lot of people who found out their heaters weren't working. And I will tell you this, cold weather can be life-threatening. More people die from what I understand, more people die from exposure to cold than they do from exposure to heat. And so make sure that your heater is working. Space heaters can have issues. A lot of times you'll hear of house fires and things like that, and there are space heaters that are being used. And sometimes people do things with gas-powered heaters, and that can lead to carbon monoxide poisoning. And I've got a I'll tell you a funny story about that here in just a moment. But Wyrick Air can make sure that your climate control system is working the way it's supposed to be. So if you need it cooler, you can make that happen. If you need it warmer, they can make that happen. They strive to provide the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, you can reach them at 321-632-9538. They may be a great resource for you. Their license number is CAC 182-1309. Pastor Dennis pastors a church in Geneva, and they are really, really good at what they do. So during that cold snap a few weeks ago, one of our heaters wasn't working. It was the day that it was really windy. It was a Saturday. Needed that room heated up for Sunday, and we ended up getting that resolved. But in the process of checking everything that I could check, I ended up lifting up a plastic cover, and it said, "I'm cold, I don't want to work," and it broke. And so I was able to call the folks at Wyrick Air, and they came out the next week and got that fixed and replaced. Sometimes it's can be a small job. Sometimes I remember Dennis found a little bitty teeny tiny wire, and I mean one of the tiniest wires that you can imagine in a air conditioning unit. He found that was the problem on one of our issues, and so they can handle repairs, they can handle major repairs, or they can handle replacements, but they will tell you the truth and take care of you however that is needed. So now that I've talked to you about them, I'll tell you about an experience that my wife and I had about how dangerous it can be when it gets really cold. We were out visiting my family back when my mother was still alive, and there was a favorite Mexican restaurant that had been very popular when I was growing up. It was called Casa Bonita. It had a chain in Denver, Colorado. I believe the people who did South Park. I've never seen an episode of South Park. It's not my thing, but I've heard that they did an episode on it and ended up buying Casa Bonita when it went into bankruptcy. Well, the Tulsa location had gone out many, many decades ago, and they tried to resurrect it. And so we're driving by, and we see a Mexican restaurant in there, and said, "Well, let's go in there and see how it is." And when we went in there, massive restaurant, and they were only using a small portion of it, and they were using propane heaters inside the restaurant. And I was like, this doesn't seem good. And lots of cars in the parking lot, but really not very many people in the restaurant portion itself. There was a room, and it seemed to be pretty full. my dad called me a little bit later and said, well, we found out why there were so many cars in the parking lot. And let's just say there were some things going on in the back rooms back there that weren't legal and they didn't involve food. So they made headlines for all of the wrong reasons. But I would have never gone back there because, you know, if you're running propane heaters, you're burning up oxygen, and that could be bad for your long-term health. So please make sure that you're safe. We're going to go to Psalm 111 now. Psalm 111. I'll read through the whole chapter, and then we'll start talking about the nature of God. Verse 1, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. That is what brought us here to this chapter. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So we talked the past couple of programs about the works of God. Today we're going to move into the nature of God. And as you read this, the first three words in the New King James Version are praise the Lord. The fifth word is praise the Lord. In the second verse, it is the works of the Lord. In verse 4, the Lord is gracious. There is a tremendous amount in verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, one of the most frequent designations of the nature of God is that he is Lord. He's the Lord God. And there is no disagreement between who he is and what he does. So as we begin our walk with him, the best way to navigate our life is to let him lead from his sovereignty, from his wisdom, according to his plan. He leads his people in triumphal procession always. And so one of the best decisions that a person could make is not just asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins, but also asking him to be your Lord. And that means that we throw up the white flag of surrender to God and say, I am all yours. My victories are yours. My defeats are yours. My challenges are yours. And my testimonies are yours. And that, I believe, is the battle that if we will remove ourselves from the throne and make sure that God is positioned on the throne, I think we will find a quality of life that is beyond anything that this world has to offer, because God as Lord is something this world got no substitute for. It says here in verse number 3, where it says his work is honorable and glorious, it also says his righteousness endures forever. So God is always doing the right thing. I don't know if you've ever known anyone that they were constantly doing the wrong thing. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but there's the end thereof is the ways of death. I remember one time I was dealing with a physiological issue, nothing serious. And in my mind, I said, well, what must be going on is this. And so I set out on that course of action only to find out that my solution to the problem was not making things better. It was making things worse. I say this with a disclaimer. I'm not a doctor. I've not played one on television, and I'm not one on the radio. And you know, then when you think about it, it's like, oh, okay, so that's what's going on. And you know, we continue to go forward. There's a lot of people who choose paths in this life that they think are going to lead to life, but Jesus says it's actually a broad path that leads to destruction. God never takes the wrong path. Never makes the wrong turn. He is righteous. He's the standard. And so when we are comparing ourselves, we need to compare ourselves to him, not to other people. Other people may have better qualities or worse qualities than what we do, but they're not the standard of righteousness. One of the titles for God is the Lord, our righteousness. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people want to talk about him as the Lord, our Savior, the Lord, our healer. They want to talk about the Lord, our peace. They want to talk about the Lord, our provider. But they never get around to talking about the Lord, our righteousness, where God looks to establish righteous behavior in us because it reflects who he is. And that's the responsibility that we have as Christians, is to become as much like Christ as we possibly can and let that righteousness show through to those around us. So the Bible talks about that there are people who want to set aside the righteousness of God, which is perfect righteousness. They reject that to try and establish a righteousness that is a self-righteousness. And it's always going to be inferior. You know, when I sold shoes, I had people that came in and because I dealt with shoes, I always looked at people's shoes. And you could tell a lot of times that people didn't take care of their shoes. They abused them. They were either that, or the shoes were old and they were worn out and things like that. And what I found amazing were people who did not give any concern at all to what the condition of the shoes that they already owned were. They would examine a brand new shoe with tremendous scrutiny to see if there was anything, any blemish on it or anything that was not right with it. And I, you know, I wanted to say, hey, you know, have you seen your shoes? You know, we have some polish over here if you'd like to do that. So people's standard of righteousness will never measure up to God's righteous standards. So God is righteous in everything he does. He always does the right thing. He is always upright, and he makes it possible through his indwelling us for us to live a righteous lifestyle. It is a righteousness that is made available to us through Christ, but it is supposed to manifest itself in righteous behavior, to where we give consideration to the right standing we have with God whenever we are operating and doing things. So the Lord is righteous. That brings us to verse number 4. The Lord is gracious, which means merciful or kind, and it says that he is full of compassion. So I've got a 3-ring notebook here of the research that I have done in the weeks leading up to this program here. I study it. I refresh myself. I dive into the passages before I come in here. So what I'm telling you is, this is not some just flippant half hour that I spend here with you. I've put in study and effort to be ready for this particular program. So this morning I'm sitting in my office. I had a cup of coffee. It was a good cup of coffee. Not every cup I make ends up tasting all that good, but this morning it was like, hey, that's a pretty good cup of coffee. So I'm sitting there and I'm preparing, I'm going through my notes, preparing my heart. And all of a sudden, a question gets dropped into my spirit. I had a conversation recently, and I was telling this gentleman, I only see him about once or twice a year. He's a minister out of our national headquarters in Springfield, Missouri. And I was telling him about how we came to embrace a particular ministry that he was very familiar with. And I said, I don't know how God talks to everybody else. This is how he talks to me. And he's always challenging me, encouraging me, directing me in a way that shows, hey, I love you so much, I don't want to leave you the way that you are. I want you to excel. And I will tell you that saying yes to the things that God has prompted in my heart has led to some of the most successful ministries in the last 5 years that I've ever had in my life. Very, very excited about that. And so I'm sitting there this morning, and God asked me this question. And like I say, when God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's because you need to know the answer. And here is what the question was. How does an infinite God reach a state where you say, or the word of God says, that he's full of compassion? And I was like, wait a minute, there's something in the passage that I just presumed that full meant full, and yet God is beyond measure. And so I started diving in. And one of the things that I found is that when it talks about full of compassion, that it means that God is absolute compassion. That it means that there is nothing artificial about it. It is the genuine article. And that there is no other alternative source for it from him. And so it is something that was often talked about in a manner of greeting with love. So if you're listening this morning and you feel as if God is mad at you, that God's disappointed in you, have I got a great word for you today, and that is Psalm 111, verse number 4, where it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." He has shown up on the radio dial with absolute compassion for you, for me, for all of those that he died on the cross to save. And all of those means he wants none to perish, but wants all to have everlasting life. And I was like, wow, I really, really like that. I mean, I knew his compassion was perfect. But it is a way of greeting one another with love. And then there was this little hidden nugget in the lexicon. And that is this: the word from compassion, the Hebrew word for compassion, comes from the word that was used for the womb. The womb is, you know, and I'm going to put it to you in a very life experienced way. My daughter had a baby a little over a year ago. And one of the things that she was doing where they lived is she helped deliver babies. She was not really there. She wasn't a midwife. I don't remember the title she has, but she was there to assist the mother, assist the midwife, and make sure that everything was taken care of. And so she's very familiar with the process. And when it came time, she was still a couple of weeks away from her delivery date. But as the night wore on, there was some evidence that she might not make it to the delivery date. And so they began to call around, and in the middle of the night, it became evident that it was time. There was something that was going on inside of the womb that said, there's getting ready to be a transformation in this world. And so they began to make phone calls. The people who were taking care of the other child and you know, hey, you know, we need you over here. And what happened was there became a greater and greater sense of urgency. They made their phone calls. They made their way to wherever it was that the baby was going to be delivered. And they got there, I believe it was 7 or 8 minutes before the baby was born. And I want to tell you today that on this day, on this Tuesday, February the 24th, that as the sun arose today, that God has a brand new delivery of absolute compassion for his people. It's not compassion without righteousness, not compassion without his lordship, but it is compassion that is filled with grace, with mercy, with goodness, with truth, all of those other things of God. But when he shows up, it is absolute compassion. And you know, when he corrects us, the Bible says he disciplines those that he loves. So what I did was it took me a while to figure out how to dive into this particular passage on my computer program. I was asking myself to do things I hadn't discovered before. And so I want to share with, it's not something that is just mentioned a couple of times. It is something that is mentioned 13 different times throughout the Old Testament. If God repeats something, if it's established in the mouth of not just two, not just three witnesses, but 13 different occasions, it is something that you and I need to know. And so let me just share with you today from Psalm 111. God is the Lord. He's the Lord God. He is righteous. He is gracious. He's merciful. He's kind. And he is full of compassion. Today, if you feel unloved, you don't need a phone call from a friend. You need a word from heaven. And I want you to know today that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has absolute compassion for you. And he is moved with compassion in your life and my life. And I can't wait to see what he does in us and through us for his glory today. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.